His long reign, it must be said, 46 years, just under 46 years, provided him with a great many opportunities. When you reign for a long time, you have a chance to do things. Now, you can do good things or bad things. You can begin well and then sort of ease off into oblivion. But the fact is that a long reign does provide opportunities. He seized them. Charles seized them. His immense patronage, for example, brought key people to his court. One of the greatest of these was an Anglo-Saxon scholar by the name of Alcuin. We'll talk about him in considerably more detail in our next lecture, but here I'll just make the point that one of the greatest students of Alcuin's life and career and works says, if we want to really understand Charlemagne's magnetism, the way he attracted people to himself, we think of Alcuin, who landed on the continent with a bag of books and died the lord of 20,000 men. Charlemagne could attract and he could reward in ways, really, that none of his contemporaries could possibly do. He was a keen judge of people. He was willing to spend, and he spent well. He spent intelligently. He was also a ruler who had a vision, a real sense of vision. He had and formulated eventually a plan, and he began then to implement that plan. He had a sense of where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do. Now, it's interesting to note that he comes to the throne, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the year 768. We don't really begin to see his plan taking shape and beginning to be visible and beginning to be coherent and beginning to be implemented until the middle of the 780s, some 15, 16, 17 years into his reign. And then over a period of about a decade, from the mid-780s to the mid-790s, we see a remarkable series of developments that, taken together, show us really what Charlemagne was trying to do, but also show us that if a person has the means, has the resources, has the will, and has the vision, and then above all else, perhaps, has the time, he can get a very great deal done indeed. What kinds of things? Well, for example, military campaigns. He fought a large number of campaigns to maintain his realm. He waged 53 campaigns in 46 years. But there are some ironies in Charlemagne's military activities. He's not to this day studied in the war colleges. He was not a great charismatic leader. He wasn't a brilliant strategist. He wasn't a great battlefield tactician. What he did, quite simply, was out-organize everybody. And then he entrusted very often the leadership of his armies to trusted soldiers, or even to his sons, eventually, as they grew somewhat older. His great talent was organization, not generalship. Now, we may think of Charles as one of the great sort of conquering warriors, but we'd have to qualify that judgment. In fundamental respects, his aim was really to restore the largest, the maximum boundaries of the Merovingian kingdom that had preceded him. Remember, the Merovingians, the key, the family of rulers of the Franks, of the kings of the Franks, before the Carolingians came on the scene. Now, in several places, he rounded off frontiers. For example, let's say along the Pyrenees, where there was a frontier with Spain. For example, at the base of the Danish peninsula. For example, in the Danube Valley. For example, in Italy. These are, to be sure, four places, and one could mention one or two others. These are four places where on Charles's death, the Franks ruled more territory than they had ruled when he became king. But in each of these cases, what he was really doing was sort of building a big insulator, we might say, along a threatened frontier of the kingdom. He was not an indiscriminate warrior who just conquered and conquered and marched and moved ever forward. Fundamentally, his military activity was, interesting enough, conservative. In the area of institutional reforms, Charles's activities involved both reform and innovation. Reform, taking certain things that existed in his time and improving on them, and innovation, doing new things. It is in the area of his institutional reforms, and then to a degree in the area of cultural activity, but cultural activity will be the subject of our next lecture, so I'm not going to bring it up here in much detail at all. It's in the area of institutional activity that we can really begin to see the fruits of this great decade I mentioned a moment ago, between about 785 and 795, let's say. In this period, Charles, for example, made the royal court and courtiers key players in both government and politics. He had an ability and a will to attract elites, to attract powerful people, to attract important persons from all around his vast realm to his court.